Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we celebrate the Feast of St. Luke. It seems to me, and you could check this out for me, but it seems to me that October, every year in October, no matter what the cycle we're in, it seems as though October is particularly rich with the lives of saints. It's feast day after feast day. Yesterday, we celebrated the Feast of St. Ignatius of Antioch. Today, we celebrate the Feast of St. Luke, Luke the Apostle. The first reading is taken from the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 10 to 17. Beloved, Demas, enamored of the present world. Do you hear that? It just ties right into yesterday's readings. Where are our values? Are they in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of this world? And Paul says to Timothy, his disciple, he says, Beloved, Demas, enamored of the present world, deserted me and went to Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke is the only one with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is helpful to me in the ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak I left with Carpus and Troas, the papyrus rolls, and especially the parchments. Now, this is just a very down-to-earth, practical letter, asking him to bring these people and bring these things. And then he writes, Alexander the coppersmith did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. In other words, you notice, that's up to the Lord. I don't waste my time on revenge. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. You too be on guard against him, for he has strongly resisted our preaching. So he warns them, be very careful here. But he's also giving them an example. The Lord will repay him. The Lord will take care of this. At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Look at that. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of betrayal that are in these few verses. At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf. I was alone. Brothers and sisters, but he says so clearly, but the Lord stood by me. Hear that, brothers and sisters. The Lord stood by me and gave me strength. Instead of giving in to anger and hatred and bitterness and self-pity robs us. Instead of giving in to all that, he said, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength so that through me the proclamation might be completed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Look at what I envy, frankly, in my own life. I envy this clarity in the face of persecution, in the face of having to come before courts and to be tried. He didn't know whether he was going to die at any moment. Friends deserted him, so to speak. People didn't stand by him. People fled, don't we? We might stand by somebody, but when push comes to shove, we back away. Look at Jesus. There were some friends there, definitely some friends who persevered, but how about all the people he had healed? All the people he had counseled, all the people he had set free from demons. They were quiet. Sometimes, you know, we are left very much alone. We may have done great good for others, but we're very much alone at a particular time. Paul's words here are so important. May it not be held against them. For the Lord stood by me and gave me strength. That's how we want to live, brothers and sisters. absolutely trusting in God, blessing people, seeking to be loyal ourselves in every way that we possibly can. But at the same time, where do you rest the weight of yourself? You rest it on Him. You rest it on Him, not on how many people are faithful to me, how many people are going to stand with me. Look, I did this for you and this for you and this for you. Why aren't you here now helping me, defending me? Paul didn't give in to that. And we have to, by God's grace and power, not do that either. It's fine to ask, but when we ask accusing, and we ask with anger, and we ask with bitterness, it will never bear fruit. What do we do when we're betrayed? It's hard, isn't it? Look at what Paul did over and over and over again. And look what Jesus did. In the face of incredible betrayal, what did Jesus do? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In other words, they don't fully grasp who I am. They don't realize the magnitude of their desertion. He forgave them. This is a year of mercy. Who do you need to forgive? It's almost the end of the year of mercy. November 20th is the end of the year of mercy. Do not let the graces pass you by. Open your heart. Go to the holy door in your diocese. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to strengthen you. Ask God to walk more closely with you, that you might follow Him and become His disciple, truly His disciple. You will never regret it. It's not just a symbolic move. It really does impart the grace of God. And it's called an extraordinary year of mercy. Receive it. Acknowledge that you need it, and then receive it. Your friends make known, O Lord, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your friends make known. Do you make known the glorious splendor of God's kingdom? A kingdom of justice and mercy. A kingdom of forgiveness. A kingdom of joy. A kingdom of faith and hope and love. Faith fulfilled in the kingdom of heaven. Hope will not need to be anymore when we're in heaven. But here, are we living in a kingdom of faith and hope and love for God or not? And what are we going to do about it? The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. In other words, be truthful about where you are. Be truthful about yourself. I'm weak here. I fail here. I've made a mess out of this. Just be honest with God and receive the mercy and the forgiveness that God has for you. Why carry baggage? All it does is sour us over the years. Sours, embitters, causes us to shrink, to be mean. Don't let that happen to you. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 to 9. The Lord Jesus appointed 72 disciples, whom He sent ahead of Him in pairs to every town and place He intended to visit. God is always there for us, but sometimes He uses us. He sends us out as emissaries, so to speak, in a particular situation, in a particular parish, in a particular thing in our town or our city. Oftentimes, God sends us out in a certain way to pave the way for Him. Can you do that? Do you listen to Him? Do you bring His message? Do you bring the gospel of peace and justice? Do you bring the gospel of mercy and reconciliation into every place you go? Don't make those false separations. Well, that's for church. This is for civil society, and the two don't meet. You can live the gospel principles. You may not preach them, perhaps, though when you can do, but you can live out those principles in your conduct. Don't make a false separation. God doesn't intend you to be a Christian just when you're in church. He doesn't just intend you to be when you're going to Mass. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. This is who you are. Live it. The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. He knows what we're dealing with. And he's saying to his first disciples, carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals. Greet one along the way. Into whatever house you enter first, say, peace to this household. So he's saying, don't let anything stop you from doing what I've called you to do. At the same time, I don't want you depending on the world's goods and what the world says you need, money, sandals, etc., etc. In other words, if we can have them, use them, fine, but don't depend on things to enable you to accomplish the goal. Depend on Christ. And sometimes Christ's disciples were sent out with almost nothing, brothers and sisters, almost nothing. It was the power of the word that carried the day, so to speak. Into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God is at hand for you. That means it's at hand. That means in a certain sense that you can reach out and touch it because God is so near to each one of us. God isn't just in the church building. He's with you right now, right where you are. Jesus can reach us at any time under any circumstances, but he wants to use his disciples who have faith in him. That they'll go out, they'll do what he said, they'll make God's priorities their priorities, and they will serve for the glory of God, not for self-satisfaction. Oh, you might be satisfied a little bit, that's not a problem. But why do you do it? Do you do it for self-satisfaction? Or do you do whatever work of mercy, charity that you do? Do you do it for your own satisfaction or for the glory of God? For the advancement of his kingdom? Brothers and sisters, these are true questions that we need to ask ourselves. Ask St. Luke, whose feast is today, ask him to pray for you. He had to make those decisions. May he help you by his prayer for you to be able to make the same decisions. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, you can receive my free booklet by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net. From there, select radio, then select food for the journey, and you'll find a great deal of information available to you. God bless you.